Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, June 3rd, 2023. Midland changes Wes Gotcher's 2-year plan. Defining moment leads Mariah executive's family to Midland. Community keeps them here. Wes Gotcher likely never saw himself living in Midland, Texas. He and his wife, Carrie, are from Oklahoma. And it wasn't until October 4th, 2010, that Midland could have ever become a possibility. Wes and Carrie were missionaries in Brazil. Specifically, they were helping to plant a church in Niterói, a municipality of the state of Rio de Janeiro, right on Guanabara Bay, in the southeast region of the country. Quote, maybe the most beautiful place in the world, end quote, Wes told the Reporter Telegram. But on October 4th, 2010, their boys, Graham and Gibson, were born after 28 weeks. Long stays in the NICU and even surgeries were in the family's future. Finding health insurance became a priority. That is when Wes interviewed with Dale Brown. Wes would find out that Brown had his own experiences with missionary work in Brazil decades before. Brown also had work for Wes in commercial real estate with the Mariah Real Estate Company. Quote, we were desperate to get back to the U.S. and just went with the first job that presented itself and felt like God has shown that he had a plan, end quote, Wes told the Reporter Telegram. Quote, through all this, we kind of intended to be here for a year or two until we could find something in Oklahoma City, where all of our family is from. We are in our year 12 of our 2-year plan, end quote. Mariah Group. Gotcher is the managing broker and president of Mariah, which boasts having utilized $1.23 billion in capital in transactions since March 2009. Gotcher said commercial real estate is a different animal than residential, and that Mariah deals primarily with industrial, office, and retail. Gotcher talked about Midland being a, quote, unique market, end quote, for those in commercial real estate, because if someone has a good idea, and if they are willing to hustle, quote, it's rewarded here, end quote. Quote, people are willing to open doors for others with good ideas or a desire to hustle, end quote, he said. As far as changes over the years, Gotcher said the Midland market continually adjusts to changes in the oil field industry, especially with industrial properties, which can go from lacking supply to being overbuilt as companies expand and then consolidate. As far as commercial real estate goes, Gotcher talked about Midland's ability to attract tenants being impacted by the region's area to attract labor to staff potential businesses. Quote, it's nothing that you haven't heard before, end quote, Gotcher said. Quote, but that is a reality for our industry, is the perceived labor shortage, end quote. Still, Mariah, he said, is, quote, pro-development, end quote. And, quote, we want what's best for Midland, end quote. And beyond, Mariah has expanded to 10 brokers selling property in and around Midland, Abilene, and Oklahoma City. Staying in Midland. Gotcher said his family's 2-year plan turned into 12 because Midland's, quote, the best place that we've ever been to raise a family, end quote. Gotcher and Carrie have 4 children, Gibson and Graham, both 12, Gavin, 8, and Caroline, 4. They are part of Redeemer Church, Hillcrest School, and Midland Christian School. But, as Wes stated, life in Midland is also about spending time with other families, in a way that might not be possible in larger metropolitan areas. Dinner after Little League baseball or gatherings on school nights happen in Midland when they might not happen elsewhere, where friends reside 45 minutes apart, he said. Midland, by all accounts, is turning into a younger community. In recent interviews with the Reporter Telegram, other 30-somethings also stated their preference for being in Midland because it is easy to gather with friends. For Wes, a transplant by way of Oklahoma, Kansas City, and then Brazil, he is still, quote, surprised, end quote, by the number of people he meets that didn't grow up here. Quote, some of our closest friends don't have family here, end quote, Wes said. Quote, there is not just a ton going on in Midland, and so I think families end up spending time with other families. So it feels like there's a little bit of a fast-forward button on relationships, end quote. And while Wes and Carrie's families live within 3 miles of each other in Oklahoma City, the ability to create their own support system has made Midland more than manageable, but home. Quote, we have formed some relationships that are founded on things that are very important to us, which is finding other families that are Christ followers, end quote, Kotcher said. Quote, those families are kind of our substitute family while we're here. They are the people that we call when we have difficulties, end quote. An example of that happened when one of their twin boys had to go to the hospital because of a seizure. Still, friends were there to watch the Gotchers' other kiddos at a baseball game or pick up another kiddo until they were done with the medical emergency. Quote, when we get into crisis, we've got friends that are more like family that kind of step in and fill the gap, end quote, Kotcher said. Quote, and we certainly look for opportunities to do that for our friends as well, end quote. Defining moment. Quote, my life was pretty easy until October 4th, 2010, end quote, West said. Quote, that is when I knew what real desperation was for the first time. My boys being born and me not being able to do anything to add one day of life, just the lack of control that I felt just seeing my boys struggle and struggle for life, end quote. Gibson was in the NICU for 122 days, around 4 months. Graham, quote, got out in 88 days, end quote. It was a test of more than Wes and Carrie's Portuguese. Quote, it almost made it harder having one of them at home and then having to go up to the hospital, end quote, Wes said. That experience taught Wes an appreciation for the value of a support system, or as he said, quote, the difference of trying to do it on our own versus having a lot of support here, end quote. Wes added that traumatic experiences tend to become defining moments, end quote. Something he's experienced and witnessed as part of the Teen Challenge Adult Centers of Texas, a residential nonprofit faith-based organization that assists men and women with life-controlling problems such as alcohol or drug abuse. Quote, rewarding, end quote, is how Wes described the Bible study programs. Gotcher talked about the differences in commercial and residential real estate and that he's careful to stay in his lane, something he is fine with because of the company he works for. The company he and his family keep, and the community they call home. His 2-year plan seems to be working out pretty well. MISD Bond Committee adds to potential projects. Addition of possible expenditures creates possibility of $1 billion plus recommendation. The shopping cart continues to fill up for Midland ISD's Bond Planning Committee. The group left Thursday's session at Bunch Elementary School, having made decisions on what they would like to see with middle schools and elementary schools. Well, kind of. The committee also showed itself to be agreeable to spending money for deferred maintenance and safety considerations. The next meeting, which is scheduled for June 20th at Legacy High School, committee members are expected to take its preferences, along with their price tags, and prepare a plan to take to the Midland ISD board. Assuming the committee decides on the building of 2 new high schools, a $1 billion plus seems inevitable at this point. Here is basically what the committee has preferred through Thursday. 2 new high schools to replace Midland High and Legacy High School, along with indoor athletic facilities at new locations. Cost impact up to $900 million. Those high schools would be home to students in 9th through 12th grades. 6 campuses impacted that would become Midland ISD's new middle schools. Improvements include turning Legacy High School and Midland Freshman High School into middle schools, along with San Jacinto Junior High, Goddard Junior High, Alamo Junior High, and Abel Junior High. Cost impact, $224.4 million. These campuses would be home to students in 6th through 8th grades. The building of a new elementary school in Northeast Midland. This school would be the home to the Highway 349 corridor students and open up the current Franks campus to become a neighborhood school to students in East Midland. Cost impact, $59.7 million. Other elementary schools across Midland would see population shifted through rezoning, when needed, to campuses with space available. Elementary school campuses across the city also would be impacted by the moving of 6th grade students to middle schools. Elementary schools would become home to students in pre-K through 5th grade. Money set aside for district-wide deferred maintenance and improvements to current facilities. The district reported Thursday that there are around $260 million needed to take care of current projects. Numbers talked about Thursday were $50 million to $100 million. Midland ISD's long-range planning committee which preceded the Bond Planning Committee, listed money for deferred maintenance and renovations as its number one priority. Money set aside for safety, security, and accessibility, cost estimate $41.8 million. Projects here would include removing all handicap accessibility barriers, restrictions, and related safety concerns, creating, quote, secured vestibules, end quote, across the district. Replacing outdated intercom systems, installing radio repeater to eliminate the loss of communication during power outages, installation of intrusion alarm systems, installation of access controls at entry doors, teaching spaces and offices, and the replacement of cameras. During Thursday's meeting, the process was compared to shopping online and having a shopping cart full of items to purchase. The Bond Planning Committee's cart unofficially is up to $1.225 billion, and that doesn't take into consideration an exact total on deferred maintenance and improvements to current MISD buildings or the addition of a second elementary school south of Interstate 20, which committee members wanted to know more about. Again, those totals are estimates, and the committee could decide on taking items out of the shopping cart at the next meeting. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard also told committee members to expect polling to take place, beginning June 20th, to figure out what more of the community is thinking. She also said two community meetings are set to take place on June 13th, at 5:15 meeting at Legacy High School and a 7 p.m. meeting at Midland High. If there were issues to settle after the committee meeting later this month, Howard said a July 17th meeting will be added. Perryman, Midland to add 11,100 jobs by 2027. Report, Midland to lead the state and the nation in overall output growth. Continued economic growth for the U.S. and Texas is in the forecast offered by the Perryman Group's Perryman Economic Forecast for 2022 to 2027. Drilling even into Texas, Ray Perryman, President and Chief Executive Officer, told the Reporter-Telegram that Midland should outpace both the state and the nation over the next 5 years. Quote, we expect Midland to lead the state and the nation in overall output growth. The oil and gas sector generates substantial value added, and we expect global demand to increase significantly. Job growth will also substantially exceed the state and national rates, end quote, he said via email. His company's forecast for Midland is for 11,100 jobs to be added by 2027, representing an annual rate of increase over the 2022 to 27 period of 1.99%. Perryman cautioned that the economic path for the U.S. and Texas will likely be somewhat uneven. Quote, the nation is facing significant headwinds, end quote, he wrote in presenting the forecast. Quote, although inflation is finally moderating, the inevitable fallout from the actions by the Federal Reserve is negatively affecting a variety of industries, from residential construction to banking. Geopolitical uncertainty is also running high. Even so, I think any downturn we may see will be relatively mild and manageable, with growth expected over the 5 year horizon, end quote. For Texas, Perryman forecast $1.3 million net new jobs by 2027, representing a 1.83% expansion during that period. The Texas economy is performing better than other areas, generating jobs month after month, he noted. Quote, Texas recovered from the pandemic much faster than many states and continues to lead the way, end quote, he wrote. Quote, the state is not immune to the national situation, and our largest export sector, oil and gas, is highly sensitive to global demand. Nonetheless, the Texas economy is diverse and well-positioned to deal with what comes, and I expect notable growth over the next 5 years, end quote. Nationally, Perryman is forecasting U.S. real gross product, or output, to grow at a 2.81% annual pace, reaching a level of $23 trillion in 2027. More than 13.6 million net new jobs are forecast to be added, bringing total 2027 employment to 165.7 million. 75th Summer Mummers opening this weekend. The 75th year of Midland's Zanius tradition opens this weekend downtown. The Melodrama Act started in 1948 and has been bringing smiles to Permian Basin faces since then. After the main stage dramatics finish, the loud, crazy fun of the Olio performances, short skit slash dance slash song type in the evening. As the longest continuing melodrama in the U.S., Mummers provides the Midland Community Theater with most of its annual budget. When? Every Friday and Saturday through September 2nd. Where? Yucca Theater, 208 North Colorado Street. How? https://bit.ly/3mfznow. Attire. No flip-flops or open-toe shoes. Nice clothes or jewelry or anything else you'd be sad getting dirty or possibly lost. Why? During the performances, popcorn is thrown around the audience and toward the stage. There's a 100% chance if you're sitting in the pit, you'll be covered in grease by the end of it, just like the floors. You've been warned. Concessions. Speaking of popcorn, in order to buy concession yummies, you'll first need to purchase the Vegas token-like chips at $5 each. This way, cash and credit cards don't go missing or lost after guests indulge on many inhibitions. Did you know? Summer Mummers pops and sells more corn in a summer than any local movie theaters do in a calendar year. By the end of the season, 15 tons, 30,000 pounds, of crunchy snack will have been popped and sold. Waste. To help combat the amount of waste, MCT is willing to bag the floor popcorn for people who would like to feed it to their critters. Some animals that can eat popcorn include larger birds, turkeys, crows, etc., cows, horses, and more. Keep in mind this popcorn will probably be buttered and may have some seasoning, so be aware of how much at one time. Dogs and cats can eat popcorn as well, but it's better for them to have it plain and not so buttery slash seasoned. Don't feed popcorn to the ducks around town. They can't digest the kernels. Disclaimer, I am not a veterinarian. If you have questions or concerns, call your real veterinarian. DPS operation leads to arrest of 26 people. As a result of an increase in violent crimes in the Midland-Odessa area, the Texas Department of Public Safety Criminal Investigations Division initiated a two-day collaborative operation to disrupt violent crime, according to a press release from the Texas Department of Public Safety. Texas DPS press release stated that because of the effort, 26 people were arrested. 9 of those arrested were taken into custody on felony warrants, and 17 were on-site felony arrests for various charges. 6 firearms were seized, including 1 stolen firearm. More than $57,000 in stolen vehicles and property was recovered. More than $28,000 derived from illicit means was seized. 32 felony warrants and 10 misdemeanor warrants were served. The press release also states that, quote, significant amounts, end quote, of cocaine, methamphetamine, and heroin was seized. Texas DPS, Midland Police Department, Odessa Police Department, Midland County Sheriff's Office, Ector County Independent School District Police Department, Midland County District Attorney's Office, Ector County District Attorney's Office, University of Texas Permian Basin Police Department, United States Attorney's Office, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation all participated in the collaborative operation. Judge denies Mario Chacon Jr.'s bond reduction request. Judge David Rogers has declined Mario Chacon Jr.'s bond reduction request, the district attorney's office confirmed Friday afternoon. Attorneys for Chacon, who is accused in the murder of 20-year-old Madeline Pantoja, had requested the 142nd District Court to reduce his bond from $3 million to $750,000. Rogers, the presiding judge in the 142nd District Court, heard the arguments Thursday and reviewed the evidence before announcing his ruling on Friday. Chacon remained in Midland County Jail on Friday on a $3 million bond for murder, a first-degree felony charge. Death notices. Loner Griffin. Loner Burnell Griffin, 72, passed away on Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. Viewing will be Monday, June 5th, 2023, from 2 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral service is set for Tuesday, June 6, 2023, at 11 o'clock a.m. at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Michael Barry Trost. Michael Barry Trost, 84, of Midland, passed away Thursday, May 18, 2023, in Midland. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements have been entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Cemetery of Midland. Richard Frederick Kellogg. Richard Frederick Kellogg, 83, of Midland, passed away Thursday, May 25, 2023. He was born September 19, 1939, in Honeoy Falls, New York. The family will receive friends for visitation at Ellis Funeral Home on Monday, June 5, 2023, from 4 to 8 p.m., with the rosary at 7 p.m. Mass will be celebrated Tuesday, June 6, 2023, at 2 p.m. at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Susan Craig Mahoney. Susan Craig Mahoney of Midland passed away on May 31, 2023. She was born April 25, 1956. No services are scheduled at this time, but they will be handled by Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring, Midland, Texas, 79705. Obituaries. Carol Dube Clay. Carol Dube Clay passed away on Memorial Day, May 29, 2023, after a brief but courageous battle with glioblastoma. Carol was born on November 5, 1939, to Lenora and Oscar Dube in Goose Creek, Texas. Carol is survived by her son, Keith, and wife, Nancy, of The Woodlands, Texas, grandson, Ryan, and granddaughter, Courtney, her son, Craig, and wife, Christine, of Ridgewood, New Jersey, granddaughters, Lillian and Patrice, and grandson, Wyatt. She is survived by her brother, Leonard Shorty Dube, and wife, Joanne, of Alvin, Texas, as well as many cousins, nieces, and nephews. Carol was preceded in death by her husband, Terry Clay, who passed away in July 2020. Family and friends are welcome to join us to celebrate Carol's life at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, June 4th, at Grace Lutheran Church, 3000 West Golf Course Road in Midland. Memorial donations can be made to our brain bank to help move glioblastoma from terminal to treatable. https://www.ourbrainbank.org/give/ or to Grace Lutheran Church Bowman Scholarship Fund. https://www.gracelutheranmidland.org. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Irene A. Polster Pickett Greenhaw. Irene A. Polster Pickett Greenhaw went to her permanent home to live with the Lord on May 31, 2023, in Midland, Texas. Irene was born on May 8, 1926, in Benjamin, Texas. Irene is survived by her three nieces, Margie Norton, Fred of Midland, Phyllis Latham, John of Waxahachie, and Melinda Ludecki, Pat of Belton. Three nephews, G. David Pennick, Paula of Magnolia, Wayne Polster, Celia of Palestine, and Gary Graham, Christy of Buna, and brother-in-law Pennick of Midland. She was preceded in death by her parents, Betty and Walter Polster, brother Calvin Polster, sisters Geraldine Pennick and Carolyn Graham, and a niece, Terry Diane Walden. Funeral arrangements are with Chapel of Hope, Hobbs, New Mexico. Pastor Robert Pace of Grace Lutheran Midland will conduct the services at Grace Lutheran Church, 101 East Berry Drive, Hobbs, New Mexico, on Tuesday, June 6, 2023, at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Memory Gardens in Hobbs, New Mexico. Pallbearers will be her nephews Mark Greenhaw, John Latham, Pat Ludecki, Fred Norton, G. David Pennick, Wayne Polster, Brandon Mitchell, and Greg Youngkloss. Memorials may be made to either Grace Lutheran Church in Hobbs, Memorial Fund, or Grace Lutheran Church in Midland, Texas. Debt retirement. Your attendance is a memorial to her, so no flowers, please. Patricia A. Penny, Thorkildsen Unterbrink, and Eric Christian Chris Unterbrink. Patricia A. Penny Thorkildsen Unterbrink and son Eric Christian Chris Unterbrink will be laid to rest on Saturday, June 24th, 2023 at United Lutheran Cemetery in Zambroda, Minnesota. Penny passed away on March 15th, 2023 in Alton, Illinois, and Chris passed away on July 11th, 2022 in Midland, Texas. Penny's husband and Chris's dad, Ray L. Unterbrink, predeceased them in February 2021. Ray and Penny's daughter, Lee, passed away in 2011. Penny and Ray are survived by daughter and son-in-law, Jill and Gary Brown, and their sons, Jeff and Zach of Kentral, Illinois, and by son, Kyle Unterbrink of Beaumont, Texas. They are also survived by multiple Unterbrink nieces, nephews, and cousins, and by many Thorkildsen cousins. They will both be missed by many beloved friends.
Good day, this is Glenn. I'll be reading the Odessa American for June 4th, 2023. It's Geek to Me, Be Wary When Updating Payment Information, by Jeff Werner. Question. My question is regarding an orange pop-up that appears at the top of my screen every time I open my email in Windows 10. It states, Account Notice, we've run into a problem with your Microsoft 365 subscription and we need your help to fix it. There is a Fix button and a X Delete button. In early March of this year, we received notice that our $99.99 subscription was due by automatically withdrawing from our checking account. We have done this for the past few years. In late March, we received notice that the withdrawal could not be processed through the credit card number on file. Oops, we had changed credit card number and not informed Microsoft. We went into our Microsoft account and updated it with new credit card number. In late March, we received notice the payment had gone through and has since cleared on our bank statement. I just hit the X every time I see this pop up, but wonder if there is more I need to do to get rid of this. We can't seem to find a phone number for customer service with a live person equipped to handle this problem. I don't understand a lot about computer questions and answers in your columns, but you have helped me in the past, so I'll keep on reading. Connie P., Destin, Florida. Answer. Thanks, Connie. With the countless millions of Microsoft products fielded across the globe, support members, especially free ones, are all, for all intents, non-existent. You're much better off writing to me. The first thing I thought of upon reading your submission is that I hope you carefully verified those emails before you started clicking on them and then submitting your credit card information. One very common phishing scam is to blast out an email that claims an account or service has been disabled and then require you to reestablish your account or payment details. If they send out enough of them, eventually a few are going to land in the inbox of someone that actually uses the service, and those people often can be easily fooled. The sites that the emails lead to can be very convincing, often looking quite similar to or even exactly like the actual site. They even have the nerve to include copyright notices at the bottom. Now, of course, people want their account to work properly, so oftentimes, without checking where that link leads, or looking at the URL that loads in the address bar, or doing any kind of verification, they give away the keys to the kingdom by entering their login credentials, or worse, their credit card details. I say all that as a warning to anyone who might read your tale, Connie, and encounter something similar. You obviously knew your payment information had changed and followed the legitimate path to update it. Someone else might not be so lucky. I did some research on your problem, and as you stated, one common cause of the message, account notice, we run into a problem with Microsoft 365 subscription, and we need your help to fix it, is the payment method that they have on file becoming invalid for whatever reason. Sometimes, even though you fix a problem like this, the notification is stuck there, and you need to take some steps to get rid of it. One thing I might suggest is that to try that fix button that you mentioned, it probably leads to an online wizard that will go through and try to detect the problem that they mentioned. If and when it doesn't find anything, the logical thing to do would be to reset the orange pop-up you're receiving. If that fix doesn't work for you, there are other steps that Microsoft recommends. You can read all about them at tinyurl.com/igtm-0828. Be sure and follow all the instructions there, and hopefully your orange box will soon become a distant memory. To view additional content, comment on articles, or submit a question of your own, visit my website at itsgeektome.co, not .com. Pet of the Week, Gemma, by OA Life. Gemma, a 12-week-old female lab mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. to adopt Gemma or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 2230 West Sycamore, call 432-257-4311, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org or leave a message at facebook.com/humanesocietyofodessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay, neuter, contract, along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $75. To help support HSO, donations are welcomed at tinyurl.com/279urb4s. Donations will go towards kennels, cat house, and adoption center. College football. UTPB defensive back continues small business of customizing shoes. By Michael Bauer. Jalen Thompson never envisioned himself customizing shoes for other people and having his own business. However, after his friends in high school saw how good he was at designing sneakers, word soon got out, and it wasn't long before he had his own small business. UTPB football player from Eaton High School in Hazlitt, who will soon be entering his junior year, has seen his business grow as he continues to help design shoes for other people, including his teammates. "It's a small business that I created myself," Thompson said. "It wasn't something that I saw myself doing in the future, but I did it as something just for fun because I'm artsy and I like things that are really crafty. I thought I could paint shoes someday just for my sake only. My friends then told me that I should start a business where I customize shoes for people because I have a talent and they felt I should put it to use. That's what I did, and now I have my own small business where people contact me to customize their shoes." Thompson plays at defensive back for the Falcons and is currently a business major. His love of customizing other people's shoes began from his love of art in middle school and high school. "I like drawing," Thompson said. "As a kid, I was always in an art class from middle school up through high school. One day," Thompson said, "he got bored from drawing on paper all the time, so he decided to draw on one of his old shoes that he wasn't wearing anymore. I picked up one of my old shoes and decided what design best fit that shoe, and I started to freestyle," Thompson said. "I didn't take it seriously. I was just finding a different canvas to put my art on. One day my friends saw it, and from there I started designing their shoes. I started designing beat-up shoes, and people liked it because I turned the shoes into something cooler." From there, his business started to take off. Currently, Thompson is thinking of a couple of name changes, but he currently calls it JT Customs since it's simple enough. As for a logo, that's still in the process. "I have a little logo that I use as my profile picture, but as far as a main logo that I want to stick with, that's still a rough draft," Thompson said. "It's still in the works." For now, his main focus is school, football, and customizing shoes when he can, which can be a little tricky balancing everything out. "Right now, we lift in the morning and then the rest of the day it's free," Thompson said, who is also taking classes this summer. "For my priorities right now, school and football come first. But basically, I keep a calendar and keep track of my schoolwork and football practices. I work on shoes when I am free. During the school year, I'm going to be busy throughout the week, so I'll text a customer that I'll work on their shoes when I have free time. But with me, I have some online classes, so I'm able to get my work done pretty fast." When Thompson first started his business, he said he charged people around $20. "I didn't want to charge people so much that I had done for a little amount of time," Thompson said. "That's how I built a base of customers. My senior year, I started charging a little more because of the labor. I started charging about $40 to $60. It wasn't a drastic change. Now with all the new stuff that I have, I'll charge anywhere from $70 to $120. I want to up my prices, but I still want to make it affordable for people." The majority of his clients are people that he knows or goes to school with. "It started with people on the football team and my friends in high school," Thompson said. "When I got to college, it started with the football team and went to random people around campus. When I do some shoes, people like to show it off and tell people where they can get them customized, and then they come to me." Thompson talked about the process of customizing other people's shoes. "When it comes to painting shoes, you can do it freehand or with a machine," Thompson said. "I do a mix of both. It really depends on what the customer asks for in the shoe and depending on whether I can do it free-handed. I have what's called a Cricut machine, which cuts out stencils to place on the shoe, and then I use an airbrush to fill in the shoe. I use an airbrush to fill in the paint when the surfaces are too big to use my hand. Anything that's simple, I'll use a stencil with an airbrush, but if it's too complicated or there's too many designs, I'll freehand it with a paintbrush so that I don't mess up the details." For Thompson, one of the things he loves about his business is the interaction with people. "I'm mostly a quiet person," Thompson said. "I didn't really talk much growing up, which is why I was scared about doing this business at first. But as I grew my business, it helped with my communication skills, of course. I'm a business major, and it has helped me manage my money and build my way around customizing this job that I have." He hopes to continue this business as long as he can. Since I started my business in high school, it's just now growing to where I want it, Thompson said. I want to take it more serious than I had. I had doubts about it at first, but as people kept telling me they liked my shoe designs, they've encouraged me to take this serious and maybe take it beyond college. Even if it's just a side project, it's still fun to do on my free time. For more information about Thompson's business, visit his Instagram page at instagram.com/JTTCustoms. Pet of the Week, Luke, by Odessa American Life. Luke, a 10-month-old male lab mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Luke or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 2230 West Sycamore, call 432-257-4311, visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $75. To help support HSO, donations are welcomed at tinyurl.com/279URB4S. Donations will go towards kennels, cat house, and adoption center. Guest View, The Kumbu Cough, by Guest View, by Van Yandel. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Kumbu region of the Himalaya in Nepal is one of the harshest environments on this planet. The cold is so penetrating it seems to freeze the bones. The winds generated off the mountains drive the cold deep within the body. By the fifth or sixth day, one becomes somewhat accustomed or acclimatized to the cold. There are tea houses along the trek where there are stoves that burn yak, Himalayan bovine, chips, affording a little heat. We found it best to stay out of those. It was better not to warm up because then we had to re-acclimatize. The cold did not feel as intense as if we simply stayed out in it. The oxygen level of the air is so low that red blood cells increase to compensate for the lower levels. A hormone, erythropoietin, triggers the production of these red cells. The low number of oxygen molecules in the air can decrease as much as 25% less at 8,000 feet than at sea level. Dehydration, asphyxia, or hypoxia, loss of energy, increased heart rate can result in death to weaker climbers. Above 14,000 feet, breathing became very difficult. My respiration rate was tripled from home, which was 450 feet above sea level. One of the Sherpas told me to check my respiration rate. I was breathing 36 breaths per minute. When returning to America, I checked my rate and it was 11 to 12 breaths per minute. For some, the mental capacity is decreased. Reaction time seems to slow at higher elevations. This can be hazardous since many of the trails along mountainsides are hundreds of feet above the valley or river below. The trails are narrow in places and loose rock can cause a trekker to slide and fall. Above the tree line, conditions become more hazardous. Tree line elevations vary. In Alaska, tree lines are as low as 3,000 feet in places. In Colorado, about 11,000 feet, and in Nepal, 12,000 feet. Above the tree lines, trails become steeper, looser, and rockier. In the Kumbu, I developed a cough. Never in my life had I coughed so hard. The cold, dry air with its low oxygen level resulted in the drying of my throat and lungs. My respiration rate of 36 breaths per minute at rest forced more air into my system to receive a less than equal amount of oxygen. The intense coughing also resulted in pain in my abdomen. It hurt so bad I had to bend over and hold my sides to cough. People that have suffered broken ribs, had abdominal surgery, or given birth by cesarean could likely relate to the discomfort. I was thankful for the clean air and that I had never had to sneeze. After 19 days in the Everest region of the Kumbu, we descended below 13,000 feet. The oxygen level increased and the temperature eased a little. My cough went away. Can we even begin to imagine what it was like for Jesus to leave his home in heaven, especially when we consider what a hostile environment the earth was and is like to our kind and gentle Savior? I had it brought to my attention several years ago what birth must be like for a newborn baby, to leave the warmth and comfort of his mother's uterus and flung into a cold, cruel, and loud world must be horrifying at best. What an abrupt change that must be. Jesus came into the world like any other baby. He was born in a stable, his baby bed was a feed trough or manger for livestock, and his blanket was old rags or swaddling clothes. He was born in Bethlehem in December. It would likely have been cold there. Soon after he was born, King Herod sought to kill him. Mary and Joseph took him to Egypt for 2 years to protect him. Traveling across the Sinai Peninsula from Israel to Cairo would have been another very hostile environment to deal with. We really do not have much information of Jesus' life as a carpenter and the 28 years spent in Nazareth. we do know he began his earthly ministry at age 30. He was judged, ridiculed, and called a false prophet and a liar by the religious leaders during the 3 years before he was crucified. They rejected him for several reasons, but the number one quarrel they had with him was his teaching salvation by grace and mercy. The religious leaders believed one must live completely by the Old Testament laws of Moses. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came through Christ Jesus. Because of this teaching, they plotted to kill him, which they eventually did. What they hadn't bargained for was our Lord being resurrected. And wouldn't they turn over in their graves if they knew that today he has over 2.5 billion believer followers? Jesus was the fulfillment of the scriptures. Isaiah chapters 9 and 53 told the people about him 600 years before his birth. He came into this harsh, cruel world as a little baby, born in the humblest of circumstances. He lived his life as a servant, then died as the savior of all mankind. A trek in the Kumbu of the Himalaya has been referred to as glorious misery. The mountain views are a display of God's handiwork. I stood on the summit of Kaila Pathar, 18,514 feet across from the Kumbu Valley from Mount Everest. The mountain range before me was magnificent desolation. On that crystal clear day, I could see the death zone on Everest. 14% of those that attempt Everest do not survive. A Mount Everest climb to the summit at 29,035 feet can range in cost from $50,000 to $200,000 depending on the outfitters. Many that are physically fit to make the climb cannot afford the cost and rely on sponsors, manufacturers of climbing gear, and other products. Nepal requires an $11,000 climbing fee. Jesus left his home in heaven to come to this earth where he would suffer and die for the sin of all mankind. Would I go back to the Kumbu? If you want to test me with the price of a trek and a plane ticket, please do. Do you believe Jesus will come back to take you home? Christ Jesus was crucified for the remission of our sin and resurrected. Hundreds witnessed his presence after his resurrection. The Holy Bible offers irrefutable proof of its authorship by our Creator. So much of the science and prophetic information could not have been known to 2 to 3 thousands ago by mere mortals. I'm reminded of an old hymn, "The World Is Not My Home," written by J.R. Baxter and sung by Jim Reeves. "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." The scripture promises his return, Acts 1:11, and the taking up of his believer followers, 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Van Yandel is a retired industrial arts teacher, an ordained gospel evangelist, and commissioned missionary from Fredonia, Kentucky. This column is part of the Bible Connection series.
Van Antony Bowden Obituary. Midland, Van Antony Bowden, 62 of Midland, died Thursday, May 30th, 2023 in Midland. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. June 5th, 2023 at Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. Arrangements are made by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa, published by Odessa American on June 3rd, 2023. John Brightman, Odessa, John L. Brightman, 62 of Odessa, died Tuesday, May 30th, 2023 in Midland. Chapel service will be held at 1 p.m. June 5th, 2023 at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa, published by Odessa American on June 3rd, 2023. Della Kirkland Cooper, Odessa, 89, formerly of Big Spring, died Friday, May 26, 2023 in Odessa. The family will receive friends at Myers and Smith Funeral Home at 301 East 24th Street, Big Spring, Wednesday, May 31st, 2023 from 1 to 1:45 p.m. A graveside service will be held at 2 p.m. at Trinity Memorial Park's Peace Chapel. Arrangements are by Myers and Smith Funeral Home. Pay your respects online at www.myersandsmith.com. Published by Odessa American on June 3, 2023. Ricky Everett Daniels. No services have been scheduled. Ricky Everett Daniels, 74 of Odessa, died Friday, May 26, 2023 in Odessa. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland, published by Odessa American on June 3, 2023. Thomas Eldon Easterling, San Angelo, 80, passed away at home with the assistance of hospice on Tuesday, May 30th, 2023, after a long battle of complicated illnesses. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations to be given to the Gentiva Hospice of San Angelo at 116 West Concho Avenue, San Angelo, Texas, 76903, in his honor, published by Odessa American on June 3, 2023. Karen Sue Lowe Howard Winters, 71, of Odessa, died Wednesday, May 31, 2023, in Lubbock. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. June 5, 2023, at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. A visitation will be held June 4, 2023, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Frank W. Wilson Funeral Directors. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Odessa Funeral Home. An extended obituary can be found at www.odessafuneralhome.com. Neri Prieto, Odessa, 65, died Sunday, May 28, 2023. Memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. June 6, 2023 at Acres West 24-Hour Funeral Chapel. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Michael Barry Trost. No services have been scheduled. Michael Barry Trost, 84, of Midland, died Thursday, May 18, 2023, in Midland. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home, Cemetery of Midland. Virginia Ward, Odessa, 96, died Thursday, May 25, 2023. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. June 2, 2023, at Acres West Funeral Chapel, Wayne. Mass is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Ardmise Woods, 90, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 23, 2023. Chapel service will be held at 10:30 June 3, 2023 at St. James. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery. Arrangements are by Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Finances front and center amid child support debate. Dear Abby, I have a child with a woman I'll call Kara, who is now my ex-wife. Our son lives full-time with me and my new wife, who I am married 3 years ago. Kara was diagnosed with schizophrenia 5 or 6 years ago, which is what ultimately led to our divorce. She has only recently been able to keep a job despite her condition, which is only being moderately well-managed, but she has a pretty good one now. Kara spends almost all her money on herself and rarely spends a day with our son without me present. I'm considering asking the court for child support payments, but I worry that because of her mental health issues, she'll end up taking it out on our child. She never has been a very good parent, largely because of her illness, and she lived with us for almost a year because I didn't have the heart to see her homeless. I don't make a lot of money myself. I've been disabled for quite some time, and the extra income would make a big difference in our son's quality of life. Am I wrong to request a child support judgment? If Kara loses her job, it could mean jail time, which would be devastating to her, but I don't believe she would comply with an informal request. I could really use some sound advice. Struggling in the South. Dear Struggling, I agree, you do need advice, and the person you should seek it from is an attorney who specializes in family law. From what you have written, Kara appears to be doing the best she can just to get by as you are. You did not mention whether your new wife is employed. If the answer is no, because finances are strapped right now, would she be willing to find a job or part-time work in order to make things easier for your son? If she could, it might relieve some of your stress. Dear Abby, I'm living in my father's home along with my younger sister. I'm currently looking for work so I can move out. My plan had been to look for roommates online, but my sister wants us to get a place together. Everyone else in our life agrees that this would be the best idea. I do not want to do this. I am honestly afraid of my sister. She has a hair-trigger temper that she keeps in check for other people but will fully unleash on me. I try to have fun with her, and sometimes I do, but I inevitably become the target of her anger for reasons I can never predict. I'm afraid to speak to her for more than a few minutes because she twists almost everything I say into an attack on her, even the most lighthearted things. She is also careless with my property and has already damaged some of my things. She triggers my anxiety to the point that I can't think straight. I mostly just hide from her, yet she still insists that we should live together and is complaining more and more about how my financial situation is preventing her from moving out as soon as she likes. How on earth do I approach this? No matter what I say to our family, no one can offer advice, and it seems like no one is on my side. It makes me want to cry. Breaking free in Arizona. Dear Breaking, your sister appears to have mental problems that none of the rest of the family wants to acknowledge. Under these circumstances, she should absolutely not move in with you. To avoid it, you must grit your teeth, dry your tears, and keep saying no.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.